Today on Iowa Public Radio, we're beginning a series examining the state's correctional system. And a warning here, because of the subject matter, this first story may not be appropriate for some listeners. It's been just over a month since two girls from Dayton, Iowa, were abducted near their bus stop, allegedly by a convicted sex offender who'd served nearly two decades in prison. The 12-year-old escaped, but the body of 15-year-old Kathleen Shepherd was found in the Des Moines River earlier this month. Authorities say Michael Klunder abducted the girls and committed suicide later that day. The fact that Klunder was free at all has prompted questions about how sex offenders are evaluated, treated, and monitored. Klunder received sex offender treatment two separate times, according to state corrections officials, at the Mount Pleasant Correctional Facility in eastern Iowa. A pair of heavy sliding doors lock the inmates inside this medium security facility. It's a large brick and concrete building originally set up as a mental health hospital. Gail Hawkins oversees the sex offender treatment program here.
We want people going back out into their communities healthier, more active in their lives in a more positive way, and with the idea that we're not going to have any more victims. That's our goal.
A group of men currently in treatment agreed to meet with me on the condition that I'd use just their first names.
My name's Jay. I sexually abused a 14-year-old female.
Jay committed his crime when he was 29. He's now 33. He says he had a home, a job, two daughters. He can't see or talk to them now because his victim was a minor. But Jay says he struggled with drugs and alcohol and a lack of empathy, issues he's had to work on in treatment.
I've been pretty selfish my whole life. You know, I wasn't really taught the things that, you know, that I've, you know, come here and learned. You know, I didn't care what this person or this person wanted.
My name is Travis, and I sexually abused two adult females.
Travis is 34, and he's been in prison for about 5 years. He tells a similar story, abusing drugs and alcohol to block out emotional pain with disastrous consequences.
Which would, for the moment, make me feel better about myself. But then when I come down from that, I felt even worse. And then I was lonely, and so I needed companionship. I would go to bars and establishments and meet drunk females and go home with them, and I mean, I didn't care about anything but myself, what I wanted.
Travis says he's been working with counselors to identify and avoid triggers for his abusive behavior, situations that could put him on a path to reoffend. Sex offenders at Mount Pleasant start treatment by meeting with correctional counselors who come up with a specific plan for each offender. Often that includes help with drugs and alcohol or mental health issues. Gail Hawkins says group therapy is also central.
Group treatment works because you can't hide. There is always somebody there that can relate to it or can challenge you on something. And I think these guys would tell you, you want to hide, you can't hide.
In group, offenders are taught techniques like role play, where they work on understanding a victim's perspective. The program also has brought in survivors of sexual abuse who volunteer to speak to the inmates about the impact of sex crimes on victims. 25-year-old Thomas says he's learned techniques like deep breathing and journaling to cope with negative thoughts and feelings. He's been behind bars since he was 18 for sexually assaulting a 15-year-old. But he's only been in treatment for about a year and a half.
In the 7 years I've been in prison, I can consider all but the last 18 months wasted.
Thomas wishes he could have gotten into the program sooner, but space is limited. There are close to 500 sex offenders at Mount Pleasant at a time, but room for only about 150 in the program.
Honestly, I think the focus on sex offenders shouldn't be about how long we can keep them warehoused. It's how can we rehabilitate them, because warehousing them just gives you time to stew on what's going in your head.
Some survivors of sex crimes would like to see their abusers behind bars for a very long time. But many victims care about treatment, too, says advocate Beth Barnhill. She's the executive director of the Iowa Coalition Against Sexual Assault.
And in many of those cases, what the survivors or their families want primarily is for the person to get help. Now, they want them to stop the offending. And sometimes they say, I want them to stop the offending because I want them to have some prison time, but I also want them to get help.
It's important, she says, because most sex offenders will get out of prison eventually. Tomorrow, we'll continue our report with a look at what happens when sex offenders are released.